Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, end of lockdown, the Castle Mona, and Manxifying film titles. To try and give you a taste of this and some of the news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by newshound Sam Turton.
Whoa.
And Jess Ward.
Hello. I was thinking I should chair, but I couldn't.
Well, we're missing Katie this week. She's on a staycation. Obviously, she hasn't been able to go on her numerous holidays this year because of the borders being shut down, but she's still trying to make the best of it. She's at a yurt, I think, this weekend.
She posted a photo over to us, her barbecuing away. I was very jealous. It looks so good.
Well, it's right. I'm looking out the window now and it's absolutely hammering down.
Stay inside and get cozy.
It's quite sad, really, because this is probably, fingers crossed, our last Zoom podcast. Because, very excitingly, Big Howard pulled it out of the bag yesterday, didn't he? And as of Monday, social distancing is no longer a thing on the Isle of Man.
It was such a surprise, wasn't it? No one was really expecting that.
It was very exciting. Sam, we were in the office yesterday with me, and it was a bit. We were all a bit shocked, were we?
Well, yeah, because to be honest with you, like, I'd forgotten about it being on, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, we've got the dulcet tones of our very own chief minister listing off what's happening.
It was expected that it was going to be reduced to 1 meter. That had been what we were led to believe what was going to be happening, but they've just gone for it.
Then boom.
Yeah, and now it's going to be, Guernsey. I think Sam, you saw a piece from the Guernsey Post or whatever that I can't remember, Guernsey Press, sorry, in the afternoon, say that they're going to lift their restrictions, but that's not actually till June 20th, which is a week on Saturday. So that means as of Monday, we'll be the first place in the British Islands to have no social distancing.
I don't know, to be honest, exactly what the deal is in some of the smaller Scottish islands, like well out there. I think there's one of them might, because I think one of them never actually got anything.
Right.
But yeah, I think, you know, in terms of the ones that locked down, we're definitely the first back out.
Do you think it's a bit of a tactic on the Adman government behalf, trying to get our nation on the map again in the news? Because I've spoken to Josh Stokes from ITV, and he said the island probably hasn't had so much coverage in over across until now because of everything that's happening, and they're always looking at us because we're ahead of them, and so they're thinking, oh, we'll be there maybe in like a couple of weeks time or whatever. So I'm wondering if maybe it's a bit, because nobody expected it at all, like social distancing to be completely
funnily enough, that's sort of what we were saying yesterday, wasn't it? You know, we looked at Guernsey and said, oh well, we're about 10 days 14 days behind them, so we must be doing that towards the end of this month. And all of a sudden, I think the only person who seemed to have seen it coming was Dave Neil, who we...
Yeah, he is the fountain of all knowledge, that guy.
Yeah, to be honest, Dave has been across this, hasn't he, really? You'll have seen his...
This has been his jam.
Yeah, his features in the Examiner and Independent on various aspects of the COVID operation over here, and we've talked about it in the podcast in the past, and in the Courier every week he's been doing his timeline sort of saying, updating everything, and he's all over the stats, everything like that. So he did sort of hint that this might be coming, but it still was a bit of a shock. And we should just stress at this point, obviously there's a lot of things still to be confirmed, but I think gatherings are still limited to 30 even from Monday, and you're only recommended to have two people in your house from the same household on Monday as well. But we're led to believe what Howard said, Sam, yesterday, that they're all going to be looked at again next week as well, and there's probably going to be further announcement as the week goes on.
Yeah, I mean, the council ministers have been having three meetings a week, as I understand it. Like, you know, they're talking all the time at quite formal meetings between themselves and their advisors, and I believe they still have the Saturday morning meeting. Mm. So that'll be, they'll discuss things on Saturday and then again on Monday, and then we should have a better idea of where we're heading into the new week from Monday morning, which of course for any luck will mean that the glorious noise we've all been waiting for, which is the slight little click of a key in a pub door, soon happen.
And just by sheer coincidence, you're off next week, aren't you?
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? that was me thinking I'd have to go to Peel Castle. I mean, you know, which I'm not knocking. Peel Castle, of course, is the first heritage site to open this week. But I can actually, you know, I could go sit in the pub and just keep ordering substantial meals and pints. And I think it might throw the whole fitness training thing out the window, as you know. But I still think it'd be Definitely worth doing.
It's like, have you seen that bit in Inbetweeners? I can't remember the guy's name, but he's obviously underage, and he pulls out his little notebook saying, you know, we're allowed to have a pint with a substantial meal. And he's like, I'll have three roast dinners and three pints like you. I feel like that's really you.
Yeah. So, obviously, IslandToday.co.im is updated all the time with the latest news from that. It is evolving all the time. It's a bit like it was at the start of lockdown. Things are changing all the time with the as we come out of lockdown. Now, one of the questions I was going to ask this week before yesterday, it's Thursday, big revelations, was do you think when gatherings are allowed again and you're allowed to go out and stuff, now, there was a thing, our generation, obviously, I count us all in the same generation, just, that people used to look for reasons not to go out, didn't they? You know, you'd be like, oh, you get your WhatsApp text on a Thursday, you're coming out on Saturday, and you'd be like, But do you think that thing will go now? Because we've lost the opportunity for so long that every opportunity, everyone will be out. Jess, do you think that people will be still be like, oh, I can't really be bothered coming out tonight, or everyone will be out all the time?
I think it totally depends on the person, because introverts, this is heaven, isn't it? So I think they'll probably just keep to it. But I think extroverts, everything, they'll just be like, yes, I will be there. I will be there on time. And yeah, I don't know. I don't think it will change too much. I think at first, yeah, but it won't last for too long. I think people they like being at home, don't they?
Sam, and that first, obviously, when the pubs are open, I think there's been an indication it might be everything will go back to normal by the end of this month. Is it going to be absolute, like, the last days of Rome that and Douglas that night?
Well, I mean, that might be going a tad far. Depends on how much you know about the last days of Rome, to be honest. It was a lot more than drinking went down, I'll tell you that. I think it could be an intro. I think it's going to be like Black Eye Friday and like Senior Race Day rolled into one.
Oh, yeah.
Senior Black Eye Day.
Yeah, which actually sounds like it's going to be a lot of pensions starting. That'd be great. Imagine that. Pensions coming. Bingo's still closed, but the pubs are open. There's your grand getting on the Jager bombs and throwing shapes in the outback and a deck in the bouncers. That would put
the Legion will be bouncing. Let's put it that way.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, let's move on to our first news story of the week, and it's about the Castle Mona. Now, obviously, it was in the Examiner this week. Sevilla Group have announced their plans for the big site in the Central Promenade. Is it Central Promenade, Sam? What's I can't remember what that bit is. Is it Lock Promenade?
Lock is more towards C Terminal.
Yeah.
Lock Promenade ends round about where Sam Webb's is. Then you've got Harris Promenade, which is like a very small section up to about Broadway. Then you got Central, but I can't remember where Central becomes Queens, because Central and Queens
are
down the far end. You can tell I do a lot of planning stuff involved.
Anyway,
there's this problem.
The Castle Mona, we're going to talk about that now and the plans that have come up for it. Now, obviously, it's been sat empty for, I don't even know that long now. How many years? 14 years, something like that?
Yeah, it's been closed about 14 years.
Yeah, and that includes the bowling alley and the new addition, which was the pub on the right, or the bar on the right. I can't even remember what that was called.
The Office.
Yes, The Office. Now, obviously, they've revealed this week that what the initial plans or plan application, and that's essentially just to make it watertight, in a sense, isn't it?
Sort of. Under Manx law, if it's a registered build, you can do any work necessary to make a building secure. Watertight, for example. But what they're saying to this is they're going to start, so they're going to knock down the bowling alley thing and the rest of that wing that went with it. They're going to keep the left-hand side wing because part of that is the original building. And then they are going to they're basically going to like fix the roof up with more like Manx slate and that sort of thing. But that's about all we know, really. They're not saying what state the interior of the building is because they haven't released pictures and they say we can't go in. They have not given any indication what they're going to do with the building. So it's weird because I think since we first became aware of the Sevilla Group, they have been a group who sort of, I think they're almost like flash mobs. They sort of like appear suddenly and then they do a lot and then they go away and you don't hear about them. So they did like the former Zurich building on Athol Street. They did that. And all of a sudden, you know, they bought that up. It's covered in scaffolding for a few weeks. And then they go, oh, we've got tenants, it's done. And they bought the Villiers building, of course, you know, the big one at the bottom of Victoria Street. They bought that, and then they've suddenly gone, oh, yeah, Lloyds Bank are moving in. And then you don't hear from them again until they do something like this. And they're really quite an interesting group. And I think, really, we won't hear anything about this until they're ready to tell us what's going to happen, because they're not quite good at keeping their cards close.
Now, as you say, you are a bit of a planning expert, and you know all sorts of things about planning that the average person would know. So if you were to guess or have a guess, what direction would you see it going in?
I don't know. It's a weird build. Like, in terms of, you think of like flats, for instance. Now, if you haven't a flat on the prom, you want a balcony. Obviously, it doesn't have balconies. So you're like, well, that's that gone. And then you start going, well, could they turn it into a hotel again? Like, it'd be a small hotel of just that central section and a bit above the old office. So I really don't know what it is they're going to do. It's quite fascinating, really. But I mean, they talk about being an investment in the island, which makes me think it could be something for like wider communities. So, you know, it could be a hotel, a restaurant downstairs or something, or it could end up being a care home. You know, it's sort of one of them that I think since it closed, it's had that many different potential new uses. I think it was going to be a university at one point. If you go back, the government said they wanted to turn it into a computer university, which was I think when they didn't really quite understand what ICT was. And it's just that, you know, I don't know. What do you reckon it could be, Jess? What would you like to see?
I think it just needs to be something that is, has got something connected to entertainment. I think we need more of that, but I wouldn't be able to put my finger on it. I think would they want to invest in something like that if it didn't quite work out last time? But then I'm thinking now with the pandemic, people are probably really wanting something like that, like really, really wanting it. Just don't know. I can't tell you.
It's not going to be a quick turnaround, though, is it, Sam? You know, there's a lot of work needs to be done on it. As we've said, the initial work is just to sort of keep it in some sort of usable state in the future. So once they've done that, they've got to then go in. I think there's a part of the application was to remove all the modern fittings and stuff like that, because I think there've been like false ceilings and stuff put in it, and they want to strip it back to what it was.
More interesting again, because you start looking at it and going, what exactly are they going to do? You never know, they could strip it all away and then suddenly we'll be walking along and they're going, smell 17 herbs and spices. the world's fanciest KFC, you know. Yeah. Could be.
Yeah. So there was more on that story in this week's Examiner on page 2. There was actually a full page with all sorts of stuff on it, including a brief history of the building. It's quite a fascinating building. So obviously it's one of the big landmarks on the Promenade area. So that was on the Examiner, which of course you can buy in your shop still and online at imtoday.co.im/subscribe.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, now this is a fun story, this, Jess. Now it came off the back, this was a Culture Vanin tweet. Now last week or earlier this week, it resurfaced again. The Coen brothers did a film last year called The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. And in this film, which was a Western type thing, the song Kelly from the Isle of Man was sung by one of the actors. Now they changed it to Molly for some reason. But yeah, the song was on, and then this kicked off a debate and a hashtag, Make a Film Manx. So it was how you could change a famous or existing Hollywood film title into a Manx one. And it's gone mad on Twitter this week, hasn't it? There's people been sending them in left, right and centre.
Yeah, so this was brought to our attention, and because they reached out to us and said, oh, can you get this in? And I've gone through them, and there's so many of them, and they're all so good. So I mean, the first one is probably my favourite, and that is Monty Python and the Holy Quail. it's just gold, isn't it? And then you've got, if you go down the list, you've got Mac Oldfinger. I thought that was quite clever. From Russian with Love. So quite a few Bond ones, actually, here. The Spy Who Lubed Me. So Lhoobed. Then you've also got, I like this one, Laxi Driver, the taxi driver, The Wolf of Athol Street, And then then Scooby Doo, which is do D-H-O-O. So that's quite an easy one there. I didn't get this one. I don't know what film it is. Slock, Stock and the Two Smoked Herring.
Slock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Oh, yeah. And then Where Seagulls Dare is one. I think there was a really good one at the bottom. There's just so many. There's so many. So people have really gone for it. Silence of the Lockdowns, obviously.
So that's there. You can see all these on the hashtag Make a Film Manx, can't you? There, people have obviously been contributing to this thread all week, and it's there's a list of it in the Courier this week, isn't there, on the page 13? Well, there are some absolute belters. So have you come up with any?
Yeah, it's definitely worth a look over. And like, if I don't know if I could, I'd be able to make any myself. I feel like it's really well covered, but maybe we should do one.
Sam's got a list, do you think?
So I had The Bells of St. Ninians.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Glenroy Story, which is Toy Story, but with a very disappointing twist. Once Upon a Time in West Baldwin. And Harry Potter and the Attorney General's Chambers.
Yes!
Good, the Bad and the Sulby. I put that on Twitter and in the Courier. I was really happy about that.
I'm guessing.
Oh, my favourite one, actually, is at the bottom. It's There's Something About Port St. Mary.
I'm guessing Grace will use one of these as inspiration for this week's podcast artwork, so I'm excited to see which directions to take this, because last week I got a lot of comments as my head on Dale Winton's body, which was something I never thought
yeah.
I'd say.
You know what? That fitted you really well, actually. What terrifies me about Grace the most is that she's very good at it, so it always looks like, oh, that could be him, actually.
You could use that as a form of ID in the future.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Moving on, this week's sports story is about TT News Extra. You're thinking, oh, there's no TT. How have you conjured up 32 pages of TT News for a special EMAG publication, which is live on IOM Today free now? Well, I don't know is the answer to that, but you have to ask my boss, John Watson, sports editor, who has been raiding his archives and has produced lots of nostalgia and features, including an interview with the Ramsey Rocket, the social distancing 2 meter man himself, Connor Cummins. So that's all in. On going to go online later today at iomtoday.co.im and click subscribe, and you can look through that for free. It's an absolute bargain, 32 pages. And if it tickles your fancy, please do subscribe to next year's TT News. Fingers crossed when we'll have some actual action to cover rather than look back at the 1960 and 1970 TTs.
Good to see we've got a traditional senior race day, and it's chucking it down. There's no racing.
Yeah,
I was thinking that. Yeah,
it's meant to clear up later.
How are you guys finding, like, obviously not having TT? It's such a massive thing for you guys. And then, is it been nice to kind of have that time to look back in history? And
to be honest, it's been a bit of a weird one, because this idea for this TT News Extra sort of only came together in the last couple of weeks. So actually, it's been a bit like a normal TT week, because we've had to throw that together this week. So for this EMAG. But as you say, it has been a bit weird. But talk about the weather. What he actually did, a bit of a weather thing. The weather has been really mixed this week. Now, we'd had some glorious sunshine for pretty much the vast bulk of lockdown, haven't we? Say 8-9 weeks of sunshine, so much so that we've talked about the hosepipe ban being brought in. But this week, on what would have been race days, we've had rain, low cloud, high wind. Saturday, there was 50-mile-per-hour gales, wouldn't there, at the time the Superbike TT should have been starting. So I think we would have actually struggled a bit to get the races in.
Do you think TTs may have been cursed? Because like, it's been like that the past couple of years, isn't it? Like, we had a really good spell, and ever since then, it's just not been nice.
I don't know. It's obviously the nature of the event. Northwest 200, which is the motorcycling event that runs in Northern Ireland in May, traditionally a couple of weeks before the TT, they've had some terrible weather there, and their meeting is confined to essentially 4 days. They have a couple of days, or maybe a bit longer, 5 days. They have a few days practice and then 2 days race days. It used to only be 1 day race day, and that was on a Saturday. So if they had bad weather on that Saturday, that was them completely snookered. They've only introduced, I think, some races on the Friday now to try and alleviate that pressure on the schedule. people say maybe, you know, it's climate change and stuff like that, but it's just luck of the draw. You know, we can all remember TTs when it's been absolutely scorching, and then we can all remember TTs when it's been like last year's when it was just dogged by rain and cloud, and it's just unfortunately one of those things. And I think it was mentioned at one point, possibly during last year, until we can do a Wimbledon style closing roof, the TT is always going to be dependent on the weather, isn't it? So yeah, it's just one of those things, I think. Just it's not necessarily hexed, as you've alluded to. Right, moving on. This week in history, it's a cracker this week, Sam. I've not seen this publication until you brought it to our attention this week, and it's called the Holiday News, isn't it?
Yeah, which of course our esteemed sports editor told us all he worked on.
Yeah,
she here since like the dawn of time.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the high. Can't age him.
So we're just having a brief little trip back in history, actually, 1966. Of course, this is around about the time that England will be winning the World Cup 4-2. Bang on about it for the next 45, 50 years. And it was an interesting one because apparently somebody called Billy Cotton and his top television show band were going to be appearing on the island. Now, I'm not aware of Billy Cotton, but people of a certain age seem to be. Were you ever aware of him before this?
No, I thought he played West Ham.
Well, apparently, he used to go on TV and his thing was to go like, wakey, wakey! Like that. off he goes, you know.
So that explains the photo on the front page then?
Yeah, I think so. Like, you know,
I think you need to explain the concept of this publication though, Sam. It was essentially a glorified... what's on listing, really, wasn't it? Because
back when the island was running, like, even in the 60s, it was still quite a big tourist destination. So you had this thing of it would go out around the guest houses and around some of the other the pubs and that every week. Yeah, so essentially it was like a weekly publication. It went around the guest houses and the pubs and that, and it was like saying, you know, what's on for the week, what's on for the season. So, I mean, this is just the front page. On other pages, there was like, you know, there was wrestling at the Villa Marina at the same time. There's a concert on at the Palace Ballroom. At the same time, there was open-air concerts being played at... back then, Castle Rushen did an open-air concert. You know, it's all the sort of stuff that was designed to spread tourism around the island sort of thing. And the highlight, of course, was Julie Andrews, star of The Sound of Music at the Picture House for the season. So that was the seasonal... big opening, which Mr. Watson said he remembers going to as a child, and he was just a mere 29 years old, and he went to watch it. I think he said it was his mother he went to watch it with.
Sister, I think it was his sister.
Sister,
but yeah, it's essentially a big flyer. It just highlights what was going on and what's coming up and stuff like that. And as you say, it was distributed to all the guest houses and things like that. And it's an amazing. Sort of point, sort of hint at what our tourist industry was like, but yeah, so it's fantastic. So that's going to be in the Examiner next week, isn't it, Sam?
Yeah, it'll be as always, of course, in the Examiner. Just one quick thing I've just noticed was thinking about conserving newsprint. So until supplies of newsprint again become readily available, it's become necessary to reduce the number of pages of holiday news. Features and photographs are being held over for future publication. So they're clearly a bit of a paper shortage at the time. They're running smaller papers.
There you go.
I like the thing in the bottom right hand corner. It's like, so it says, "Where two worlds meet, welcome to Pleasure Island." It's like Love Island introduction. So it says, "Isle of Man, the name is known to everyone today, but centuries ago it was called Mona by Julius Caesar." I can't pronounce his last name. Was this Ptolemy? Named it Monarina? Then came the conquering Vikings, who called it Morn. And it's got, like, extra little details there. I didn't know that. Did you guys?
Yeah. I knew about Mona's Isle, but, yeah, weird. But that Pleasure Island sounds a bit suggestive anyway, doesn't it? So
I know.
Yeah. It was all going in 1966. So, as I say, that's the holiday news of June 11th, 1966, and it'll be in its full glory in next week's Isle of Man Examiner, which is out on Tuesday. Right, looking ahead to the Examiner and next week. Jess, have you got much going on next week?
We've brought back Vox Pops. I don't know if I mentioned that last time. But that's exciting. So going out and meeting the public. And I tell you what, it has been really weird going from sitting at my desk in my home to out and about on Strine Street, which is really busy. And it's like a huge game of Tetris. I mean, that'll change Monday. But it's always like you've got the theme tune going in your head. people have been pretty good, because I didn't know whether people would want to talk to me because, you know, oh, social distancing and the corona is still out there. But it's been going really well. So we've previously asked them, like, how are they? I mean, the pandemic is a huge thing to kind of go through. And now we've been asking them, what is it actually like to go shopping again, going to shops? Otherwise, I think I'm writing a piece for you guys in sports.
You are?
It's very much looking forward to that. Yeah, so just about how Ben Carling has been getting on. Because it's been quite a strange time for personal trainers and people doing strength and conditioning. So, yeah, and then just various bits and bobs, really.
Sam, what are you up to? You got Timo today, or is that not on?
No, it's a sitting of the select committee looking at education today, so that's Adrian's problem. I've got some court stuff to clear up, and then some planning stuff to clear up, and a few pieces, and then that is it. I'm off for a week, which is much needed, to be honest. It's been a long lockdown.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think anyone except for maybe one of our editorial team has taken a week off since the start, really, of this.
Just no, Adrian went to Iceland.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Well, I say that, he spent most of the week in his garden. But I'll still be popping up actually a couple of times next week. There's a few court things I'm picking up on. Just like sentences and that. So, you know, the ne'er-do-wells of the Isle of Man could not rest easy in their beds.
And of course, I'm guessing we might be able to tempt you in for the first unsocially distant podcast we've had in nearly 3 months.
Well, that's it. I mean, of course, there's another big event happening this next week is that, so we have a little tradition called Payday Noodles, which we get from Java Noodles in town, or the noodle bars I presume are available. And they're reopening on Tuesday, so I might have to pop in on Wednesday as well for that, because it's a good day to court that morning anyway. Not me as a writing down people. And so it's great. The noodle bars are opening again. There's ducks in the rivers. Oh, it's a new dawn in the Isle of Man.
It's a happy time.
It does feel like that, yeah.
From next week. And I'm back in the office Monday. Sam, you're off. But Jess, are you coming back in next week at some point? No?
I'll think about it. Yeah, do you know what? I think so. I think I'm done with being in my office, my little cave, which I'm in right now. But it'd just be nice to see everyone. And I think it does help with motivation levels too.
Yeah.
I think I've done pretty well, but I think being in an office space, you just get right to it.
Right. Well, hopefully this time next week, we'll be able to talk to you from Nigel as opposed to Zoom. It has been a weird few weeks, but as I say, next week we go back into the normal. So it'll be interesting to see how that is as well, because obviously I think it will be a bit odd for us all to get our heads back round, not having to be 2 metres away from everyone else and such like. But but exciting times, to say the least. Right, until next week.
Bye for now.